Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Wow, it has been an interesting few days. Welcome back to the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are all doing well. Before we get into Juve match, the market, the conspiracy theories about the medicals that may or may not have been passed, depending on who you talk to. So much to get to. This is going to be like, who's that guy? He's got the real heavy voice, the conspiracy theorist. I always forget his name. He's got that very weird voice.
Alex Jones?
Yes. It's such a nondescript name. I don't know how I forget that. That will probably come out later. Before going into everything, thank you to all of our newest patrons and, of course, all of our older patrons as well. Robert Borzellino, Adned, Tom DiGiovanni, and then Ervinovic. Thank you all for your support. We greatly appreciate it. And they are getting a taste now of the madness of the group chats. You can imagine what the discourse was, the level of level-headedness when the formation came out and it was shown that Pisilli was going to start. You can imagine that the discourse was very balanced and fair. And if you would like to join that fair and balanced discussion, patreon.com/RomaPress, at @RomaPress, like, subscribe. Before getting into everything, also, we apologize for the very boomer mishap that we had that we were supposed to live stream during the transfer market deadline. I wish we had something to blame it on, but I think we're just boomers with very little understanding of the technical side of this. I don't know what exactly went wrong, but I'm sure we will figure it out. Maybe we will do a live stream during the week because there's a lot of things that I need to get into. My mobile is the weight. I can barely hold the thing because there's so much information that I haven't published, reluctant to publish. Although, as our patrons can attest, the exact thing that Filippo Bianfora published today about Danso was what I told them, what I told to them on Friday evening. But for my own reasons, I was fairly hesitant to publish some of the info, but we can get into that shortly. Again, thank you all to all of our wonderful patrons, and thank you to all of you for supporting us. We greatly appreciate it. It truly does mean a lot. I mean, to see there were so many people pissed off, Andy, that we couldn't get the live stream to work, that in and of itself was a testament to the support that we have. So thank you to everyone. Let's just start with Juve 0, Roma 0. Now, even though we are still searching for the first win of the season for Roma, even though we are still searching for the second goal of the season through three games of Roma, I am going to take the maybe somewhat deluded, maybe this is like one of those things that they do, the lobotomized version of it, where people question maybe part of the brain was removed from myself. Two clean sheets to three matches. Come on, I listen. Even in Sardinia, when it is 1 million Celsius out, that's not easy. Particularly, it didn't even occur to me. It was not so long after Ferragosto, which particularly on that island, I can't even imagine some of the, I won't say substances, but also to the disease. I mean, man, it reeks of chlamydia there.
Are you going to again destroy a region's reputation? Is this again part of your anti-Italian propaganda?
It is the Italian version of what I assume Miami smells like.
I understand,
like pineapple,
John,
and
pineapple. In your opinion, Veneto sucks. Lombardia sucks. Emilia-Romagna sucks. Sardinia sucks.
Haven't we said are Toscana running, sucks because
we are running out of regions, John.
No, hey, listen. We have zeroed in on Grosseto, and I am the place we are looking. I am one step away from being Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, if you see this place, how remote that we have chosen.
Whether are you or not still going to be able to record from there, or am I going
to? I was just about to say. I mean, I don't even know if Elon Musk has the technologies to run high speed internet to the place that we're looking, Grosseto. But as I maintain, Toscana, the best of the best, in my opinion. Okay, so Roma, they earn a point against Juventus. Now, clearly, Andy, these were two teams where. These are not the teams that we saw on the pitch today. The 11 who started for Juve and the 11 who started for Roma are not going to be the 11 that each of the respective managers chooses to field even after the international break. I don't think we will have to wait that long. They had numerous players either out or new arrivals. Roma as well. We saw the arrival this afternoon of Hermoso. As a free agent in a deal that, when you consider the news of Danso, eyebrows begin to get raised. We will get into that later. Still, a very important operation. But I think that's the first thing I take from this. Beyond the point, good first half, very lackluster second half. Although they came on, they gained some steam very late, I would say. But a point is a point. Anytime you can go to Torino, to the Juventus Stadium, and get a point, get a result, you take it every time without hesitation, removing any context. I couldn't care less what the context is. I couldn't care less.
But the context, John, is that this is our first clean sheet in this stadium in 23 years, John. The last time we kept a clean sheet, Battistuta was still playing for Roma, okay?
I am so glad, yes. Well, the data team came in today for the first time in months, and they handed me that.
Wow, really? They came in? That's incredible.
Yes. I mean, unbelievable. That in and of itself was astounding. I think starting PC League, admit it. The first thing that came to your mind was Gerson, right? It had to have been.
Good shout, yeah. Gerson, yeah. 2016, 2017. Gerson, first appearance for Roma under Spalletti, comes on. I think it was the day before Christmas Eve.
Yes.
You know, snowing outside. Everybody's excited because I think it was the first time that Gonzalo Higuain was going to be playing for Juve in such a big match. And of course, Gerson plays 45 minutes, disastrous. Gonzalo Higuain goes to score the only goal. As always, we get kicked in the ass for Christmas by Juve. Pathetic. And Gerson's time at Roma basically is narrowed down to that one match. So I think all the patrons, certainly in our group chat, were torn between being, oh, well, bold move, man. And what the hell are you doing, Daniele? What are you doing? Do you want to get sacked? And guess what? In my opinion, that move certified the fact that Daniele De Rossi watched Thiago Motta's first two games with Juve. And
yes.
Okay, he's making radical choices and they're paying off. I think I'm going to follow in his footsteps. And that's what we got tonight. We got Daniele De Rossi and Thiago Motta clashing, and that's what they did. They nullified each other. Thiago Motta nullified Daniele De Rossi. Daniele De Rossi nullified Thiago Motta, and we get a 0-0 draw where you can't really say who was better, because I think in the final minutes, Roma were really close to getting a win. So
very.
This was the Pizzilli choice. Is, I think, a very accurate representation of the moment that Roma were in going into this match. Kind of floating around, not really knowing what ideas to implement. And Daniele De Rossi was like, you know, let's take a chance. Let's take a shot. Let's try our luck. Because if not now, when? After all, there is an international break after this. We might as well go out with a bang.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I have to admit, I did. Hindsight is always 20/20. So for those who didn't criticize, you look like a genius. For those who did, you look like an idiot. That's, we all know how the game is played. I never ever, ever in that position, like throwing a player into the fire in that manner. You know, the baptism by fire. I don't like it because of the pressure. If you're going to Toscana to play Empoli or something, sure, go ahead, do it. Against Juve, it seems like a huge risk. It also was very interesting to me because we saw Paulo Dybala on the bench. We saw Salamakers sporting one of the most anti-football numbers in history, but my personal favorite. Starting at left wing with Sule and Dovbik, who I'm sure we will get into it, but that poor guy, I mean, you want to talk about like the word drought. You want to talk about not seeing a single ball come into his atmosphere. Oof. Oof. I'm sure that, just as a very quick aside, that has to be the only thing they work on during the international break. Just feed the freaking guy the ball. Give him the ball. I mean,
yeah, Andy, make him visible. At least make him visible, yes. Because he's getting nothing. There's just nothing. He's like a foreign object drifting in space.
I mean, the frustration I felt was the exact same when, after months of excitement, after 47-year-old Shaquille O'Neal comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers for one season, and Mike Brown has him up near the top of the key as if he is going to hit a shot from the elbow like he is Tim Duncan. Never trust a bald guy like that. Anyway, that is the frustration I felt. I mean, Pellegrini, Pisilli, Sule, Salamakers, nobody could get him the ball. It came to the point where I just thought, Svilar, go ahead, thump it forward. Lucky bounce or something.
It has to be such a drastic change from a Girona side that was working to feed him to a Roma side that is slowly understanding what to do with everyone but him. He's still like, you could see that their team today, even there was some good things, some good patterns, some good passing patterns. There was more dynamic movement in the midfield, especially in the second half with Kone coming in. And yet, if there is one player who was out of touch with everybody else, out of sync, it was Dovbik, and that must be repaired, mended, addressed as quickly as possible.
So where are you coming out on tonight then? Because I come simply from the standpoint of this is not going to be the 11 that Daniele De Rossi prefers in 1 week, in 5 weeks, however long he needs to get everybody to return to his disposal. That will not be the 11, and I don't know who I need to pray to make sure that some of the substitutions that we saw tonight are not the ones that we see coming off the bench in the middle of matches. There is a bit of cognitive dissonance when Juve bring on, let's see, Cop Miners, 60 million, Douglas Luiz, 60 million. McKennie was what, 20 million or something like that? Coming off of the bench, it's almost well over 100 million in transfer related substitutions coming off the bench. It's a bit much. And then on the other side, Nikola Zalewski being the one to enter, it's difficult to accept.
Let's talk about that guy. That's incredible. He's still our solution off the bench. There's clearly no intent on part of the club to renew his contract. And he's still our like number one solution for the left wing as the match goes on. That's incredible.
It is incredible, especially when you consider, too, you would think somebody in a situation that you would think is identical to his, perhaps Bove, for instance. Now, obviously, they play in different roles, different attributes. I am just saying from a general point of view, where you have two guys who clearly, throughout the entire summer, it was made clear that we would prefer to move in another direction. But not only has this guy survived the purge, he is now been among the first off of the bench in the first three. I am terrified because I said in the group chat, they're going to do it. They are going to make me somehow, some way, reach a new level of disdain for a player. No fault to his own. It is simply because the club hasn't been able to, for one reason or another, to move him on. I never thought anybody would eclipse Alessandro Florenzi, a guy who I the second the thing happened with the knee, it became clear. It was just never going to happen for this guy. Yet Roma, like they say in the movie Mean Girls, yeah, they kept trying to make Fetch happen. They kept trying to make Alessandro Florenzi happen. And I kept having to hear this word jolly, and I kept having to hear Sabatini give interviews at 11 p.m. saying he's stronger than Dani Alves. Just the most nonsensical things. I can't do this to Zaleski because it's not fair. He's at least a decent guy. I don't understand. I don't understand at all. I also don't understand some of the things, again, related to Paulo Dybala. As far as the formation goes, what are we doing here? Are we conceding that Sule can only play on the right? Are we conceding that perhaps we need some other answer behind Dovbyk? Because as happy as I am to leave Torino tonight with a point, man, I watch this midfield and I think to myself, I can't watch Pellegrini do this. I can't watch Cristante do this, or I should say not do this. I mean, man, Andy, there is just a black hole between defense, what's supposed to be the midfield, and the attack. I mean, the midfield is just an empty void. Now, I will say, Kone, finally a Mediano. Now, I have talked out of my ass every single time Roma have bought somebody or acquired somebody, even remotely resembling a Mediano. I won't even go to say Gonzalo Villar, who, for some reason, I still have alerts on my phone popping up from SofaScore every time he does something in the second tier of Spanish football, whether it be Inzonzi, who I thought, oh my gosh, prayers have been answered. I think Kone is at, I think he's at finally. I think the wait is over. Inzonzi was what, summer of 2018? So 6 years, over half a decade. Fine. I think Kone might be the answer right in the middle. Obviously different than Paredes. When you bring him in, and this has to be perhaps what Daniele De Rossi is thinking, when you put him in there and he gets comfortable understanding of the mechanisms of the team, the way De Rossi wants him to play and the team overall to play, it will allow guys like Pellegrini to do other things. It will allow Cristante, it will allow Baldanzi to become more free, perhaps have less responsibility in defense. That is the only way I can view what De Rossi is doing right now with the midfield, because the midfield to me is a big, big concern. You just can't have this disconnection between the midfield and the attack like this. I mean, our poor boy Dovbyk, he hasn't eaten in months. Feed the man. Feed him the ball. I don't care if we have to start hoofing it in like the days of Paulo Fonseca, where we just cross after cross after cross. Something has to be done there. As far as the midfield, your level of concern, because somebody's going to have to come out. Is it Paredes? Is it Pellegrini? Is it Cristante, who for some reason turned into a man loathed after this thing with De Rossi, which was originated from...
Which was, again, it's blown out of proportion. So what are we talking about? I mean, even La Repubblica are scrambling for answers, putting out some weird communication, you know, talking about how someone like De Rossi must set an example. I mean, what the hell are you talking about? De Rossi was accused of fighting with his own player. What is he going to do? Just sit in silence and not say anything about the journalist that put that fake story out there? Ridiculous. So, John,
yeah, and he's one of the guys too. I just have to say, very rarely do I like to bash colleagues on here, but the guy
very rarely. Are you sure about that?
No. But no, it's always the same target. So come on, Marko Juric. I think he has written for more outlets than I have children in the last 2 years.
He was with Sky Sport for a long time.
Sky Sport, Il Tempo. Then he moved to. After Tempo, I think he went to another newspaper. I forget which in between. but he's had like four or five stops in between. I do not like him at all. Very not professional. I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, but that's what.
But as you and I said though, that story, and we said it from the beginning, and De Rossi reiterated that the story has a. It begins with the kernel of truth, but then you just use hyperbole, and it becomes a completely different situation. Yes. Where, okay, yeah, we were swearing at each other, we were having a row on the training pitch. That sure. happens every single training session. Every single training session, a manager will yell at the player, and they will use foul language too. Oh my God! But then when you tweak it to they were using foul language and it got physical. Mm-hmm. That yes. is where you just
it had to be separated. And had to be separated. And then on the following day, when that rumor gets squashed, you come up with another rumor about Mancini getting it in with De Rossi. And that's and you get called out not only by De Rossi in the presser, you also get called out by the player in question. So that's, you know, but okay, forget about it. That's off the pitch stuff. But when it comes to the midfield, am I concerned? I think we will have to see what this international break brings, because we have to remember we have potentially two more defenders coming in. Now, those two defenders can dictate how Roma set up. We also have Manu Kone, who just came in yesterday. It was his first training session. Today, for the briefest of times that he played, he showed really good things. We got Pizzilli all of a sudden starting. So what I'm getting from this, and what De Rossi also said in his presser with regards to Kone's arrival, he said it. I told guys like Paredes, Cristante, and Pellegrini that your place is not secured. I will have to be picking players who are in the better moment, players who are in better form. Your place is not guaranteed anymore. So that's a very important development, because for a long time, we were only talking about these three options in the midfield. Now, we're seeing Pizzilli get a start. So what does that mean in the long term? We get Kone, who also, what does that mean, right? So we have a lot of things going on with potentially Hermoso getting a start, perhaps over Mancini, or who knows? But what does that mean for Mancini? What does that mean for the defense? How does it get set up? If Hummels comes in, what do you do? Do you switch somebody? Do you put in Mancini in the midfield? Are those things that Roma want to explore? I think this is very much so a work in progress. Tonight, I think De Rossi did well in trying to emulate Thiago Motta, and it worked out for him in the sense that at least tonight, what we said in the last episode, we said, be bold, dare to fail, but at least dare. If you're going to fail, try to dare, try to go for it. And tonight, what we can say is that Roma went for it. So things didn't work out, really. I mean, we still made some mistakes. We still conceded a lot. We still got, I think, a bit lost in terms of confidence just to then regain it near the end. But I think there is a lot of things there that can be tweaked around and that can produce good results. So I wouldn't be off put by these three results. Clearly, going into the international break with two draws and one loss is not good enough, especially if you consider the first two games are against Cagliari and Empoli. But I think the material to do better is there, unquestionably.
Yeah, I mean, there is plenty of reason for optimism. Obviously, to be on the midfield, this thing with the goals, De Rossi seemed to hint that, yes, there was some bad luck. I think Roma have hit the post four times in the first two matches, three or four times. Pellegrini seemingly accounting for half of those. At some point, if this continues for another match or two, I'm going to have significant concerns, because it should not be this difficult with an attack that you... two new arrivals. Your entire summer, for the most part, was based around these two attacking pieces, and yet you cannot find any way to get the ball into the back of the net. some of the guys you mentioned, though, some of the late arrivals, we haven't had a chance to discuss them. Hermoso, a deal that when you juxtapose it to the thing with Danzo, it makes a lot of sense. What I told our patrons on Friday and what Filippo Bianfora, he published today, I was a bit hesitant to make it totally, completely public. But on Friday, we have Danzo. He arrives. He's going to be coming to Roma. It's a huge deal. What, 30 million, 30, 35 million, something like that.
No, 25.
Or I'm sorry, 25 to 30 million.
Loan with loan with obligation for 25.
Obligation, yes. And he arrives, and we don't hear anything. Now, when a player arrives, Roma, they give to us just a very brief, now he's going here, arrival at the airport between this time. So they give the media and journalists time to prepare so they can get their photos and publish and hype up the new arrival. Well, we didn't get that this time. And much like the thing with Malcolm, as if you remember Bordeaux, they put out that very odd statement when it looked like Malcolm was going to come to Roma. They said they were the only ones.
Roma didn't put out an announcement for Malcolm. It was Bordeaux who said, we have an agreement, verbal agreement with Roma for the transfer of Malcolm.
Which never happens. You don't have to be following the sport too long to know that that statement, what immediately red flags should have been raised. This thing with Danzo, we didn't hear anything for hours and hours and hours. And it began to become clear something was happening. And it was just about the time where Hermoso looked like he was going to close his deal with Galatasaray. They didn't close. And just to, I said this in the previous episode about the agent of Belanova, somebody I know pretty well, also the representative of Hermoso. So I'm just putting that out there to be fully transparent. And the timing of all of these things, it is interesting. I don't want to be called into, you know, any proceedings. I'm going to navigate this carefully. The timing of all these two operations next to each other was curious, to say the least. Lens after Roma, there's still no update on the deal. Lens, they put out, again, a very bizarre statement after Roma began leaking that there was a problem with the medical. Now, they put out that there was an irregular heartbeat. Given what we saw happen to Mendica, given what we've seen over recent years, this issue becoming, for the better, obviously, more well-known and more widespread, and the awareness, obviously, being heightened of this irregular heartbeat issue. Had that been the case, you can understand, okay, well, I understand why Roma would not want to complete this deal. But then when you consider, well, this guy, he came for preseason medicals just some weeks ago in Lens. He's obviously too, prior to matches, the full training staff at his disposal. This didn't pass the smell test, so to speak. And then receiving word from somebody close to the situation, Roma, they had asked to Lens for another 24 hours, which Lens, of course, said no to that because they needed to get a replacement, close for a replacement, and it was the final day of the transfer market. So obviously, they were going to say no to this. And Roma used that as a pretext.
And also, I must say, John, I also think that from Lens' perspective, anything shows up in those tests, they're screwed, you know?
Yes. And I want to be very careful with this. Now, whether or not Roma decided or knowingly used that as a pretext to cancel the deal, I am not saying that. However, when you also add into the factor of the Tammy Abraham situation, where this goes from something that is going to be a permanent deal, where Tammy Abraham is going to Milan, Salamakers is coming to Roma, plus cash. Well, that thing got completely turned upside down in the final hours because Milan, there was a problem from the side of Tammy Abraham from the contractual point of view. He did not want to lower his wage. So he is going to be earning the exact same figure with Milan as he did at Roma. And that was sort of a non-negotiable. So that really changed things, which when you add the Tammy Abraham deal with Hermoso not closing with Galatasaray, you can understand this thing with Danso, why many are very skeptical of Roma's reasoning or explanation behind it. I am not saying one way or the other as to whether he did or did not have an irregular heartbeat. I am making that abundantly clear. However, I am saying with these other situations next to it, it does make you wonder. And then on top of that, Andy, the thing with Giallo was, I don't even know what to say. You fly the guy here. He goes, undergoes his medicals. And
John, this is, I think a lot of people are, well, that's terrible behavior of Roma. Listen, pal, this is business, okay? This is business. The highlight of your recent career is warming up the bench for Juve and playing 16 minutes within the last year and a half. That's your career right there, okay? It's a privilege. In his position, it should be even a privilege to be linked to a transfer because nobody wants him. The guy was brought in by Juve out of spite, who wanted to block Inter's chances of getting him. Okay, that's
yes.
They got a guy who hadn't played in a year and a half, John, just to spite Inter. Classic, classic Juve move. So Giallo comes in because he's the backup to the backup to the backup to the backup idea of Roma for the defense. He's a guy whom you can get, if you're really desperate, for cheap, for dirt cheap. But immediately, as soon as I saw the loan with the option to buy being discussed, and Di Marzio saying, it's done, option to buy, I knew, I could smell, I was getting a proper whiff of bullshit. Because if there's something that we learned from Roma, except for the salesmaker's deal where he's on a dry loan, Roma do not want to get players on loan. They made it their point. The salesmaker's deal was worked that way because Roma needed to get rid of Abraham to open up those wages for Kone to come in. But that's yes. The exception to the rule. Giallo was never going to join Roma. If Roma were only in case Roma were really desperate, and they didn't turn to the free agent market. But Roma went out there right after the Danso deal fell, and they started looking. They started looking at Milan Skriniar. Then they started looking at Loic Badé of Sevilla. They even made a bid for him. Then Sevilla were like, no, it's too late. We're not going to sell him. That's when Roma turned to the free agent market. So that is, for me, that's the evidence that there's nothing in this Danso thing that is orchestrated by the club. There's just nothing in that. The medicals get failed. Marc Pubil had the same thing with Atalanta. Perfectly healthy, right?
Yes.
Plays Olympics with Spain, wins it, is over the moon. He's going to get his big move to Atalanta, who just won the Europa League. Medical failed. You never hear about it. You don't read about it. There's not much of a scandal, but Marc Pubil goes back to Almeria in silence. In silence, not knowing what happened, okay? That's what happened, okay? These things happen. So Roma had to react. The fact that they went on this search for a defender, they scrambled, they started to look for these options, is proof that the club were completely unprepared. They were completely trusting Danso to go through and to be the defender that De Rossi and Ghisolfi both wanted. It didn't happen. I'm personally very happy that Roma went for the kind of player that they went, which is Mario Hermoso, guy who was linked with Inter, Napoli, Bologna, just about anybody, held out long enough to have Galatasaray on him and Roma. I'm very happy. This guy gives you a lot of flexibility, a lot of versatility,
yes.
Gives you a lot of leadership. And then the next thing we have to mention is Chris Smalling potentially having his, well, not potentially, because he's flying out tomorrow. That's
he's gone,
done.
Yes.
So he's gone. if you can bring in Mats Hummels, are you telling me, I saw some people complain, but are you telling me we have not upgraded from Diego Llorente, whom I respect very much, and Chris Smalling, whom I also respect very much, but we all know what shape he was in last year, by replacing Diego Llorente, Chris Smalling with Mario Hermoso and Mats Hummels on favorable, relatively low-cost deals given their quality and experience? I say, hell yes, we've upgraded.
Yeah, I mean, the Hermoso deal is, I mean, if you want to talk about a home run, so to speak, you do that deal five times over and then twice again on Sundays. You do it without hesitation. And by the way, the thing with Smalling and his agents, just never having to deal with these with his agency ever again. I am so thankful. They stink. This guy was fantastic for what? He came to Roma in 2019.
He came in 2019. No, John, come on. Let's be fair. Chris Smalling in the what this would have been this in five seasons at Roma, he was unbelievable for, I would say, three. Because the two were completely wasted on injuries. But Chris Smalling, man, was there in Tirana.
But on average, though, that's better than most. Being better than half the time that you've been at Roma. I mean, compare that to Karsdorp.
That's what I'm saying. That's 15%. What I'm saying. We have to give credit. So I don't want to dismiss him like some garbage bag because Chris Smalling came through Roma.
Yeah, by the way, Chris speaks better than half of the population of people in Rome, by the way.
Listen,
speaks better Italian than half of them.
Chris Smalling comes in and he's a meme,
and you
John.
Know it. That's why you're laughing.
Remember, John, he comes in, he's a meme. He's a meme. Chris Smalling comes in from Manchester United. Yes. He's a meme. Nobody's taking him seriously. Everybody thinks Roma got duped. Chris Smalling goes in and becomes one of the best defenders in Serie A until he gets hurt in second season with Fonseca. With Mourinho, he's an absolute rock. In Tirana, in Budapest, he's irreplaceable. He's the main reason why that team functioned and held on for as long as it did, having such a good defensive rate, such good statistics. That's in huge part to Smalling for just being a general. The fact that he couldn't even really speak Italian with his other teammates is incredible, because the way he led that defense with Roger Ibanez, Gianluca Mancini is amazing. So I think Chris Smalling leaves a year too late. He should have left on a good note right after that very positive season with Mourinho after Budapest. He should have left then, I think, looking back. That was a bad deal to renew him at those numbers. But he leaves as a good servant of the club. If he is replaced by Mats Hummels, that's also a great deal in the sense that the market's closed and you're upgrading over a guy who physically, I don't think Smalling will be able to hold out much longer. I think Saudi Arabia is his logical next step in his career.
Yeah, get the bag, man.
He's run out of gas. If there is a player that has run out of gas, it's Smalling, but he's been good. He's been good. I think for a long time he was good at Manchester United, although he's been narrowed down to being a meme there. At Roma, he was always solid, if not one of the best defenders in the league.
Yeah, and his agency notwithstanding, extremely polite guy. And by the way, that photo of him playing cards right outside the cafe is one of the best photos. Do you know which one I'm talking about, of him playing cards with his agent? It was right after he returned. And again, speaks better than half the people in the city of Rome. Now, the accent was a little iffy, but as far as the actual words and the clarity of his Italian, it was spot on. No, I have no issue with it. I mean, clearly, as you said, if we have questions about the guy, I mean, I had serious questions as to whether even 20 matches, if that is a concern for a guy who, let's be clear, I mean, the wages, Andy, he was earning were enormous wages for a guy who, for starters, he is not going to be a first choice. He's going to be the first off the bench. and we don't even know the consistency of him being available from the bench, it makes all the sense in the world to move on.
The only moment that I remember from him from last season is that match against Milan, where he comes back out of nowhere, yes, is a complete rock, and then disappears. He disappears, yes, and he's back injured. So that's what I mean. Unfortunately, Smalling was not someone you can count on. So think about it. We go from Diego Llorente, decent, a decent defender whom I always liked, given that he was on two consecutive loans. The fact that he surprised everybody, a Leeds backup, basically, a Leeds bench player, came in and came through for Roma. Decent, okay, but still, Diego Llorente. And you replace him with Mario Hermoso, who, in my opinion, is undoubtedly a proven presence at the back and a guy who can give you a lot in terms of how you set up on the pitch. And then possibly Mats Hummels, one off, if not the best defender of last year's Champions League, basically carries Borussia Dortmund back to the final. Unbelievable performance from a guy who was somehow excluded from Germany's national team for the Euros. He's there for the taking. He wants to be close to his family, to his ex-wife, to his kids. He wants to travel back and forth between Munich and whatever. So good for him. If he can set up in Rome, that's the perfect spot, and he will be welcomed with open arms, because those two guys definitely elevate the depth and the quality of Daniele De Rossi's squad.
Oh, 100%. And we will do something midweek to talk more about the transfers. But I mean, initial reaction, I think as far as an overall summer goes, I am hard pressed to think of who did better immediately after arriving than Gisolfi. I thought
Gisolfi, who joins in June, man. He joins in June. Correct. He joins the first week of June, gets to work, finds himself that Paulo Dybala situation. I mean, talk about a challenge for a newly appointed sporting director, handling that hot potato and then having to run an entire strategy around a team that needed to be revolutionized and that De Rossi was explicitly asking to be revolutionized is quite a big thing. Then you add the Dovbik thing that comes up out of nowhere, yes, and we take we take that opportunity. That's also huge. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who would have done better with so little time at his disposal.
Yeah, I mean, the versatility he showed. It is difficult when you compare, especially to, if you compare it to the likes of Sabatini, the versatility he showed in moving on, or when a situation did not close, or there was a sense that it would not close, move on to the next. That is something that I think is one of those underrated qualities that might go underappreciated, or maybe perhaps not noticed. But that is something, just knowing what's going on with some of these discussions, to see the guy, okay, Donzel, not going to happen, fine, here. Being able to do that on the fly as he did, I think is very impressive. So we will leave it there. A good point, leaving Roma, leaving Torino with a point against
Juventus. Now our favorite thing, international break. Great.
it is. The timing of this thing sucks. It absolutely sucks.
Market just closed and we stopped playing. Make it make sense. Well, because we start playing.
Well, I know, but I was about to say, I've never seen so many people be this outspoken of the market. Yeah. Because it has always been this way. And to see so many people complaining about it, seeing the Fijishi complain about it, seeing every single manager in Serie A, Premier League, seeing everybody complain about it. This is one of the few times where I feel, wow, there's actually going to be movement on it, even though it has been this way for forever. The season has always started before the transfer market closes, but I'm finally glad to see that there is some semblance of sanity between all of the leagues and not just a few outspoken clubs. For the first time, it may actually happen, and it should happen. I don't know any rational human being that even slightly enjoys football would somehow try to rationalize or try to make sense of the situation as it currently stands. But finally, I think we're going to see some movement on it for the first time. So we will leave it there. Back in a few days. Until then, ciao.